Out of all the sports teams that exist, certain countries have a big one or two, but we're proud to say our podcast is about the biggest team in the entire world.
And the only thing else I got to say is, how about them Cowboys? Yeah!
This is the World's Team Podcast. All about the world's team, the Dallas Cowboys, baby. We're here to redefine what it means to be a fan of the gridiron game. It's not just America's team anymore. Nope. We're taking that star-studded pride and spreading it across the globe. Each week, we dive into all things Cowboys, from game analysis that'll have you on the edge of your seat to reactions and all the latest news. Whether it's free agency frenzy, draft day drama, or injury reports that make us want to hug our lucky jerseys a little tighter. We're bringing in fan groups from all over the place, from Germany, France, Brazil, the UK, Canada, Japan. Everybody gets to share their two cents on America's favorite team.
And here we go, here we go!
America's team! Mexico's team! World's team! My Dallas Cowboys!
And now your hosts, Paul Stewart and Mike Poland.
Good morning, Cowboys Nation. It is the 8th of June, 2024, and welcome to another episode of The World's Team, bringing in Cowboys fans from all across the world. I am your host, Paul Stewart, and joining with me today is no other than the Welsh Dragon. You can find him on bloggingtheboys.com. It is no other than Mr. Mike Poland. How are we doing, brother?
Yeah, we're all good. It's another beautiful weekend. It's another Saturday. We're entering the lull because mini camp's over, so Oxnard, that's what we're up to. So we're going to get, well, obviously we'll talk about that as we get a bit closer. But most importantly, how's our great Scottish Claymore, a.k.a. the birthday boy?
Yeah, not too bad. In case anyone doesn't know, my birthday was on Thursday there. So I am 1 year closer, getting closer to my grave. So, yeah, so I've just turned 38, but I feel like I've turned 60, if that makes sense. But
that's anyway. What happens when you're a Cowboys fan, my mate.
Well, my hairline actually proves that.
I agree with you there, mate. We look very similar in that respect.
Yes, I do. Like, not many people will get this reference, especially with our friends across the pond, but I am slowly becoming more like Phil Mitchell every single year. If you watch EastEnders, ladies and gentlemen, you'll get the reference. So, okay,
or just go and watch Ross Kemp on Gangs.
I would take Ross Kemp in a heartbeat rather than Phil Mitchell, to be honest. But but yes, it is Saturday. It is the 8th of June. So rookie minicamp and minicamp, whatever you want to call it, is now all there. It's been documented. We've had some good positive feedback from a lot of players. But we've got a fair bit to talk about today, haven't we, Mike?
Yeah, it's always exciting. Like, you get to see, I mean, like, there's some controversy still floating around the team. That's still there. But also, some things are clicking into place as well. So it's kind of like the scale, the balance, the scales are going back and forth, back and forth. That's life, is it? That's life covering the Cowboys.
Yeah. I mean, it's the one thing about when you're covering the Dallas Cowboys, there's no shortage of controversy when it comes to contracts, players not doing so well, players doing amazing. There's just a lot of things you can cover. Like even the NFL draft, when we were covering that, when we were previously with Blogging the Boys. But it's never ending. Even though we're going to have a dry spell leading up to Oxnard and stuff like that, but yeah, there's still going to be plenty to talk about. But with that being said, like you mentioned about controversies and stuff like that, well, it's not so much a controversy now, but Micah Parsons is now finally back in the building.
Yeah. I mean, like, me and you, we spoke about this last week, about Micah not being in the building.
Yes.
And, you know, there's even a little fantastic short of that, of me and you in that conversation with Micah. And as we say, it was the optics. Because I think what people are annoyed at is they say, oh, he's not there and he's supposed to be this leader. But he's never been a leader for the Dallas Cowboys, right? But this is me kind of like looking at it from both angles, if you like, or talking about sides of my mouth.
Yes.
That you want him in the building because you've got this new defensive system. You see him spawning around doing various other things. And it's frustrating as a fan. But also, on the other side of that, you say, well, what is it that we want Micah Parsons to be? Do we want him? Are we wanting it? Do we love Micah because he's this fantastic leader of men? Or do we like him because he's always like first, second, or third in the league in sacks and in pressures? Because that's really what you're after.
Yeah, and especially after hearing the reports of the 20 word discussions he's had with Zimmer and stuff like that, whatever that may be, we don't know the full extent of that conversation, obviously. Mm-hmm. But the suggestion is that Parson has things doing things his way, and Zimmer has things doing his way. So that to me is like, sorry, but Micah, you need to get on board with your defensive coordinator if that's the case. Like, that's one thing, like, no player is bigger than like the DC, because the DC sets the rule book, the playbook. Sorry, not the rule book, but the playbook.
You could call it the rule book.
Well, because you are setting the rules for your players.
Exactly. Right?
It's like, if you're like, for example, you're the design of the play is for you to cut inside of the tackle, but you decide to go outside the tackle, that's you breaking the rule. You're breaking the
freelancing.
You're freelancing. Yeah. Zimmer's not all about that. He's very regimented what he wants. Yeah. So for me, Parsons needs to get on board with that. But the other, and this is something I kind of highlighted on the UK Cowboys fans yesterday, is even though Mike Zimmer's on a one-year contract, right? If we were, like, I'm just being hypothetical here.
Yeah.
Saying Zimmer does not get renewed for next year. We have a brand new defensive scheme next year, and it may be completely different. It could be a proper stacked 4-3. There's no hybrid, there's no nothing or whatever. There may be different stunts involved that might not suit Micah Parsons. How's that going to work? Like, I'm just being very hypothetical. Like, when a player's not willing, when I say willing, I'm sure Micah Parsons is willing to get on with it. Absolutely. And I'm not trying to put any negativity on that. I just think it would benefit him more so if he would actually be in the conversation, right? Okay, this is what you want me to do, cool, right? Because the way I'm seeing it is, if you're so stuck to being this particular player and you're now being told to do things a certain different way, and that's maybe not your strong point, then that's a perfect opportunity to you to actually build up your skill level to match that, so you could be fit for any type of defensive scheme. And that way, would actually make you the best defensive player, not just for the Cowboys, but possibly in the NFL. The fact that you can actually, what's the word I'm looking for? Help me out here, Mike. What's the word I'm looking
for? I'm trying to think of the word myself. Not it's function.
Like, I wouldn't say function. It's like you're willing to migrate, I would say. You can migrate more fluid into different...
remold yourself.
Exactly. And not just be, oh, this player can only work in this certain type of defense. And that's it. Like, that's the point I'm trying to make. This is why a lot of fans, including me, is a wee bit frustrated, because we want Parsons to be the best. That's it. Yeah. We want him to be the best, but it's, and I know we may be like overthinking about this. It could be all for nothing. Who knows? And I said it on Thursday's show. Who knows? It could be the fact that Parsons is that gifted. He can just walk on and actually just learn it just like that.
Yeah. I mean, so there you go. And here's the thing, because like, people are saying, oh, he's not in the building. He's not been around. He missed OTAs, all voluntary. Bearing in mind, he wasn't there last year or the year before. So he does this regularly. And One of the
there's a difference for that because Dan Quinn.
I know.
There's that difference. So
there's the tit for tat. Yeah, of course.
Yeah, like he knows what's expected of him from that defensive coordinator because he's still there. But because this is completely brand new, it's like a little bit of urgency to actually get in the building a bit more quicker to actually, okay, what is required of me? Because I want to be the best player. I want to get the highest pay contract. I want to get the Cowboys to the Super Bowl. What do you need me to do?
Yeah, I know what you're saying. There's a lack of familiarity. Yeah, and so, you know, like there's a lack of familiarity. There's a lack of understanding of the book and what's expected of him under Zimmer. Plus, one of the things that is helpful is just to be around each other. So it's just like knowing personality.
Get to know the rookies. Get to know
like, that too.
Like get build that bond from the get-go. And I know, like, leadership, again, I'm not really that particularly frustrated because we do have leaders on the team already.
Exactly.
Which I'm happy about, but it would really be really good for Micah to say, okay, maybe talk to Marshawn Nealand, who's just came into the team. He's got a lot.
Let me show you something.
Yeah, let me show you this. Yeah. That will might help elevate your game so early on. Obviously, there's still going to be plenty of time of that, but the more you can actually be bonded with that team, the more that can actually go forward and actually know your traits and know your weaknesses more early on. So therefore, when it comes to training camp and going into the preseason games, there's going to be less room for error.
Hmm. Yeah, no, I agree. Like you say, it's the familiarity thing and the rest of it. But in terms of like, do I think he's going to be hampered in the season because he wasn't there in OTAs? The answer, I think, is no. Like, he was there at mini camp. He's going to be there at training camp. He's going to be in Oxnard. He's going to be around the team during preseason. Like, that's the main thing.
Yeah. I mean, this kind of leads up to my next question, but you said, like, it's a hamper in there. Do you think Micah Parsons has been overused under Dan Quinn?
Yeah, heavily. Yeah, definitely.
This is one thing I love about Micah Parsons, but I also don't like about Micah Parsons is the fact that he's got the dog mentality. But the reason I don't like it is because he just doesn't know when to take a break, he doesn't know when to stop, and that can actually hinder our defense a little bit. We've seen we saw that in glimpses of games where later on the season where he just completely, like, he had a hot start to the season and he kind of slightly fizzled away a little bit. And don't get me wrong, mate. There was points in the season where he should have got sacks, he should have got holded, he should have got XYZ. But there's those points there as well. So, but yeah, it's. I just think like it would be good to like, okay, Micah, like try and cool your head. I know that was what happened was really bad, but I don't need you to kind of like have that hot head and try and like rectify it right away. Like, we've got guys here who can still do the job, get you come in more charged up and focus on the next play. That's what, like, just kind of like get more rotated and not try and burn him out as much because he is vital to this team.
And as a pass rusher, and he's made the comment himself why he wasn't in OTAs, is that he's an undersized pass rusher, which is very true. He is undersized for the role that he plays. So he's going to take the bumps and bruises to his body that will take longer to recover than the bigger guys, you know, Marcus Lawrence.
So that is a good reason that would actually shut me up for and that's one thing I don't think that has been covered quite a lot is the fact that Parsons is working in the offseason. Yes, he's been working a lot in strength and conditioning, building up his frame to be like a proper defensive end now, which is great. And it does take time. And obviously with his size and stuff like that, he doesn't want to be carrying any niggles and stuff like that when it goes into proper contact and stuff like that. I mean,
definitely.
So totally understandable. So I cannot sit here now and really judge Micah from that point now after knowing what he made his comments about. So I would actually say, look, Micah, if you actually hear this, I would like to apologize. So, but, but, But I will say is like it's okay to take a break from time to time when you're actually on the field because you are an amazing player.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, it's that's basically it. And we're and obviously we would just like you to be like doesn't necessarily like being involved with OTAs, but just get to speak to your new coaches. That's all we ask, really.
Yeah, get used to the terminology, get used to what's the expectation.
The play call names, the scheme, the stunts, you name it, because that's going to be installed so early on.
Oh, yeah. And that's the thing. They're in the install phase, or they just were. You're going to get a lot more install in training camp as well. Yeah. You know, like the install at this stage is finding fits and a little bit of experimentation, which we talked about last week. And obviously now, for a guy like Mikey, you know what he can do. You know what his strengths and weaknesses are. So, absolutely. I mean, the main thing is this year, under his rookie contract, is the first year he could really start to push and talk to the front office about contract extensions. And under the CBA, this is the year he can start doing it. And he hasn't. And he's just rolling through the motions.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, he could get his contract renewed now if he wanted to, but we still got next year, I suppose. But speaking about contracts, Mr. CD Lamb, he is currently holding out essentially still. Probably not in his decision to make, but it's definitely his agent, I would say. But now we know where the landmark is, because after the news this week, Mr. Justin Jefferson for the Minnesota Vikings got his new contract. So break it down to me, Mike. What is Justin Jefferson's contract at this moment?
Yeah, I mean, so the way that we just look at it is we just look at the average and per year. His average salary is $35 million per year. So that's really what we're aiming at. Which still blows my mind how quickly and rapid that amount has just shot up in the last half decade.
It's crazy because I remember when Mike Evans for Tampa Bay, and I think his average year on his contract was roughly about 17 to 18 million 18. A year. So it's a big jump. It's almost doubled now. And that's, what, 5-6 years difference?
Yeah. I can remember Peyton Manning and like, oh, he's earning 35 per year, and you're like, wow. Now we're talking about non-quarterbacks reaching that number.
Don't forget, what was Tony Romo's contract? Was it not like 56 million for his whole 5-6 year? So, now
we're up in arms about that.
It's crazy. Inflation is real, ladies and gentlemen. CD Lamb, hit me with it, Mike.
We'll get to, you know, in the mailbag, a question was asked to us on this. But, I mean, like, I'll hit into the – he's going to obviously – so people keep saying, when's he going to get it, when's he going to get it done? I feel training camp's going to be the place where he gets done.
Agreed.
He's holding out. And I actually, when you stop and you think about it, I was thinking about this. It's not a bad thing he's holding out, right? Both for him and for the fans, purely because injury. Now, you imagine he's waiting to get the payout. He goes to minicamp, you know, tweaks a muscle. Ah, there we go. Now we can knock $5 million off the amount per year. So he holds out to protect himself because his body is his investment. For fans, he gets to rest. He doesn't get put into a position where he could get injured. Like, fans can be annoyed about it. Fair enough. The offense runs through, this entire offense runs through CeeDee Lamb. By him not being there, I mean, it's not a bad thing.
Not at all. And it gives the opportunity because the main concern for us is the next man up because obviously Michael Gallup's gone. We've got the new wide receiver, Ryan Fournoy, sixth round we got him?
Fifth, I believe.
Like, so we've got him, we've got Cooks in there who can really make up some strides, they really get on level. But the thing is as well, Mike, is that CeeDee Lamb and Dak Prescott during this whole offseason have been working very close together.
Yep.
So I feel very comfortable with Lamb holding out. I'm comfortable with it. It's not like end of the world where it was maybe with Zach Martin, where it was. We knew Zach Martin was going to come back and sign that contract, but with offensive lineman reps, it's a bit more, but it kind of, again, it kind of, in hindsight, it kind of backs what you're saying about Lamb. Like, you can't be too mad at Martin. He's not going to get banged up at camp, etc. But with Lamb, though, he is the pinnacle point of our offense. And I think it's absolutely fine. I have no problem with it. So, but like you said, training camp, I totally agree. Do I think his contract's going to get done before Dak? Yes.
Yeah, I agree that too. Yeah.
Yeah, because I think Mike Fisher from who we spoke to on the Cowboys Experience show kind of highlighted about that, what because he got to speak during the when he was at the Star, I believe.
Yes, yeah, no, that's right. Yeah, no, he was saying all that. Yeah, and like he was saying that the mood and the conversation swirling around Dallas and the media and the staff and everything is that Lamb, he is the next in line to get it done. It's in the works, essentially.
It does kind of beg the different, but beg the question about Dak. But that's another conversation for another show. We will dive into that. Not this week, but we will talk about this another
time. We're in the lull, so we got lots to talk about, yeah.
yes, absolutely. But other players we can talk about, it's not so much about contracts. It's about who could actually not actually make it in this year's team. And one guy that we both tend to agree on is tight end Mr. Peyton Hendershot.
Yeah, I mean, we all remember a few years ago, not last year, year before.
Two seasons ago.
Yeah, Thanksgiving game. And all the tight ends are scoring and they're doing that celebration in the red kettle with the...
That's right.
You know, and, you know, that was the... That was when the...
Ferguson.
It was born. And we're all impressed. There it is, look. And we're all impressed by the way they both played, but also how they complemented each other. Because, you know, Hendershot, very athletic guy. You know, you've got Ferguson, who's just like the, I'm trying to think of the word, just like this Tasmanian devil that's just like willing to just throw himself through people. But then you had Hendershot, who is this athletic, bursty type guy who could just run a seam route, like, you know, like with his eyes closed. But the issue is last year, we see a drop off in production. He falls off. We don't see much of him at all. Schoonmaker's kind of like waiting in the wind, and he underwhelms as well. But they don't try and force Hendershot through. Now you hear Hendershot is missing time because he's injured. So now you're just like, eesh. And on top of that, you've got guys like John Stevens, Brevin Spanford, all these guys, you know, Prince and Fant. They all are. And we've said this many times before, Paul, that numbers, if you've got a lot of people in one position group, it creates competition. That absolutely makes it better. If Hendershot can't keep his head above water, he's going to sink.
This is probably the most competitive position group I would say we've got in the Dallas Cowboys right now.
One of, yeah.
No, I wouldn't say one of. I wouldn't say it is, because every one of those guys you mentioned, Spanford, Fant, etc., all have legitimate chances to be tight end number three right now. Every one of them. Every single one of them. And the pressure is on Peyton Hendershot.
Very much.
And it's not looking great at this moment, the fact that he's now handled with an injury and he's going to be playing catch-up again. So, yeah. And will the Cowboys want to invest that and maybe actually bring someone who's going to be cheaper on the cap also, and it's got a bit more youth and actually may do something different compared to what Henderson's looking for. So Hendershot's doing, but it's going to be a very interesting when it comes to the training camp, when it comes to the tight ends. But we know that Ferguson's number one.
Yeah, that goes without saying.
And then obviously, Shoemaker's number two. So we know that it has to be. So, but yeah, Mike, Rick, I mean, tell me, what do you think Peyton Henderson needs to do to keep his place essentially right now, despite what's happened to him?
He needs to be better than John Stevens in every sense of the word. That he's got to be asking the coaches all the questions. He's got to be involved. He's then got to take all that enthusiasm and energy and put it onto the field and make results. The trouble is, though, is that when you look at Oxnard last year, before John Stevens' injury, like everybody was saying it, that they were like, oh my God, this guy is going to make the 53-man roster here. Mm-hmm. And you hear the words then from the coaches and the tight end coach that Stevens is ahead of schedule. He's going to be healthy. He's going to be ready for Oxnard. And you think, this is not looking good. So if Hendershot, in order for Hendershot to be able to make or keep his position, he needs to be better than, simply just needs to be better than John Stevens Jr. And we're not around the team to see what they're like behind closed doors. So you can only go off the results on the field. And if Hendershot is slipping behind in Oxnard, in practice and in preseason, then it's game over.
Yeah, totally agree with you, man. I know we mentioned we weren't going to talk about Dak that much, but Mike McCarthy actually made some very interesting comments today. Oh, sorry, yesterday, yes. Sorry. Yeah, saying that Dak Prescott's had his best offseason since his tenure at the Dallas Cowboys.
Okay, we like good news. We like positive news. That's a good
absolutely.
Thing.
Absolutely,
absolutely. I always take the off-season narratives with a pinch of salt.
Yeah, that's true. If everything that Mike McCarthy is saying is true and Dak is now playing balls out, then it's just going to put more pressure on the Jones family now what to do. Mm-hmm. But again, we'll talk about that in another episode. We will do that. yes, I mean, any good news, any praise from players is always a good sign. Always. And speaking about praise right now, obviously what's happening with minicamp and stuff like that, there's been a lot of impressive displays, especially coming from the rookies right now and some veterans. And just to name a few, Marshawn Nayland, Maris Lafu, Lyle Fornoy, and Brandon Cooks. Those four have been causing a good bit of praise right now from the coaches right now. So that's a really good sign, especially at the wide receiver department, for sure.
There you go. Yeah, you beat me to it. We looked at Brandon Cooks last year, and you know, like the Green Bay game, I hate to bring it up, is a good example of this, that CeeDee Lamb falls off a cliff. He's in his own head. He cannot get out of the rut he's put himself in. That is seen on the field. So Dak now is looking at his number two, Brandon Cooks. He's going to him. He needs Brandon Cooks now to step up. And we just see Brandon Cooks fall off the shelf as well. That he's just not there. And that's concerning because, ironically, you know, it ends up being Michael Gallup that has the biggest day in that game. Goes for over 100 yards last game for the Cowboys. But what you're after is that there's cohesion, your chemistry, and an understanding of what the players are, their strengths, their weaknesses, and how to play together and mesh. And I think that's what's happened over this last year now with Brandon Cooks. And you're hearing this, that he's faster, he's more deliberate, he's just more efficient in his route running. And they're saying that the delivery and the chemistry between Dak and Brandon Cooks is miles better. It's way, way, way different to what it was last season. So now you go, all right, that is very interesting. That's big. That's the biggest news from the offseason because of what we just mentioned about the offense going through CeeDee Lamb. Same for argument's sake, right, Paul? Worst case scenario. First quarter or first half, CeeDee Lamb takes a knock. He's in concussion protocol. We can't see him for the rest of the game. We don't know if he's even going to be back the next week. What are you doing for the rest of that game? What are you trying to manage? Because like your main guy is gone, and Brandon Cooks has proven that he can't step it up. But now it turns out that if the way things are going for what they're saying and what's being reported, that may not now be the case.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it's very interesting. I don't even know what I was going to say there. My mind just went blank there, mate. I'm not going to lie. But while I get my thoughts together, I thought maybe the best that would be good opportunity to get us on our little commercial break right now. But here is word from our sponsor.
The World's Team Podcast is brought to you by Cowboys Experience. The ultimate Cowboys experience with stadium tours, meet and greets, tailgating, game tickets, and much more. For more information, please go to www.cowboysexperience.com.
Yes, guys, as you can see in the bottom of the screen, sponsored by Cowboys Experience. Go to cowboysexperience.com for meet and greets, tailgating experiences, and much, much more. Be sure to contact Barry Griffith and tell him that we sent you our way. Going back to Brandon Cooks, you just mentioned there, the Green Bay game that, like you say, he had a bit of a fall off, which we all agree with. Gallup had a great game, just and it was his last game for the Cowboys. He needs to step up, but the good news is that we're getting a lot of good praise. His route running, he's not losing the speed, he's not losing the step. And despite how many years he's been in the NFL now, he has been one of the most consistent wide receivers in the NFL, regardless of what team he's played for. Like, obviously, he's took a reduce of snaps with us in his first season, but I would expect him to get a lot more this year to maybe kind of try and ease off the pressure or of double teams on likes of Lamb, double coverage, etc. on Lamb that might free up likes of Cooks, etc. So I'm really interested to see how that progresses going into training camp this year.
There you go. And that was the big, big one for me, right? So we're just talking about, you know, having to step it up, right? Mm-hmm. So, you know, if Lamb falls off production, he has a bad day, you need your number two to step up and take over to, you know, do the heavy lifting, right? So you're seeing that. But here's the big one that you just said, that's the most important factor in all of this. Lamb is going to be double covered. He's going to be facing the best cornerbacks every team has to offer. They're going to try and shut him down. So that means that Brandon Cooks is going to be a little bit more freer. He's going to be a bit more, be able to play a bit looser, a bit more open. So you really need that connection between Dak and Brandon Cooks to be there to take advantage of that. So if what they're saying is true, then everything's falling into place and clicking in nicely.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, okay, mailbag time, Mike. So This week's question for mailbag of the week is from Amanda Foster of Dallas Cowboys for Life. She asks, will CD Lamb's contract exceed Justin Jefferson's?
So, I mean, I've gone back and checked, right? So we like to use statistics as just as the balance, yeah. So you put the amount of money and you put the statistics on the other side of the scale and you balance them out. So if we were to go off the statistics, if you think of both what Lamb and Jefferson play on the role of their offenses, very, very similar. They're the wide receiver ones, they're the primary receiver, the offenses run right through them. So looking at it, Jefferson outdoes Lamb in virtually every receiving category there is, statistically, right? So you say the last 35 mil. So what you're looking at, but what I will say is, although Jefferson's outdoing Lamb, it's not by much. It's marginal. So I would say he needed to be paid as the second best wide receiver.
Well, interesting. I am going to say I suppose it's more clutch moments, what he does on the field, not from the statistical point of view.
Okay.
I'm taking it from that perspective, and I think Lamb will get paid more than Jefferson. Not by much, just to kind of set the benchmark of being the highest paid wide receiver in the NFL. That's where I stand.
Like by half a mil average per year sort of thing.
Yeah, roughly around about that. But guys, let us know your thoughts about this week's mailbag question of the week. And be sure to contact Mike to get your questions across, what you would like to ask us for next week's show. But yes, But now, Mike, it's time for this week's Would You Rather.
Yeah, the fun bit of it all. So it's just hypotheticals and for a bit of fun. Make sure to get involved and shoot us your opinions, your ideas, and your answers to the Would You Rathers. But the Would You Rather this week, Paul. So this is a toughie for you, right? Mike, would you rather Micah Parsons leads the league next season in sacks, or, because we're talking about it, CeeDee Lamb leads the league in receiving touchdowns?
For me, it would be Micah Parsons, because that to me shows that Parsons is, without a doubt, elite to the highest level. He can actually mold into, there's the word I was looking for, mold. You can mold. There we go. That's what I was looking
for. We get there.
Eventually got there. He can mold into any defensive scheme and still come out on top and produce and bring it all onto the field. Get the snack, tackles for losses, etc. So, in that regard, I'm going to say Micah Parsons. We know that Lamb is obviously, he's still going to have a great season, I think. But yeah, I'd be more concerned with the what our weakness is right now, which has been our defense at times. So that's why I'm saying I hope Parson leads the league in sacks and stuff like that, because that just comes to show that has been an improvement overall, not just from Parson's point of view, but from the other guys actually grabbing the attention. They're doing their jobs, like our defensive tackles hitting in the A gaps, for example. They're doing their job. That means it gives more room for Parsons to get round the tackle and actually get to the quarterback. Just all those, it's literally a chain reaction. It really is. So if Parsons is doing well, all the other players are doing well. If DeMarcus Lawrence manages to get double teamed on the other end, then that's going to actually give more space to our defensive tackles, for example. Or I might open a wider gap for like Overshawn to come in for a blitz. I'm just thinking all these different scenarios. You may have a, I don't know, like even Parsons playing back at linebacker. Who knows? Like, and he might run for the blitz. I'm just trying to think of all these different scenarios, like what could happen here. But basically, it's not so much on Parsons getting the sacks. I think if Parsons gets this, it will show that it's a contribution, that the whole unit of the defense is doing its job. So that's why I'm saying Micah Parsons.
And I what I would say is, and I know people will say, well, what's the context? You know, this is just a vacuum. It's just a hypothetical. I know that there's a million variables that we can throw in here, like how's the rest of the offense doing? How's the rest of the defense? But if we was just to use this as a vacuum and say Micah Parsons is number one in sacks in the NFL, then you think the rest of the Cowboys defense is playing pretty well. That means the scores are low, which means the Cowboys don't need to score as much. So CeeDee Lamb's touchdown total would probably come down because of that, because the Cowboys will be running the ball a lot more and keeping the lead.
Exactly. Like, because it's like you kind of mentioned when we were just talking about like Brandon Cooks there. Brandon Cooks has more better games and gets more passes, then obviously the production of Lamb will slightly go down. It's like you were saying, that balance when it comes to distribution, like it's all comes back to that. But whereas the defense, it's different.
Yeah.
It's completely different perspective from that regard. So if it was me, focus on the weak points, which was our defense, improve that, then that means actually gives our offense more opportunities to be more in the field, more, etc. So everything relies, like, it's
defense wins championships.
Yeah, exactly. The whole Seattle model type of thing back then. So I am totally in agreement with that, Mike. But yes, folks, that is the end of this week's show of the World's Team. Be sure to hit the like, subscribe, follow us on social media. But yes, and also be sure to follow Mike on bloggingtheboys.com. And but Mike, tell where everyone can actually check you out on social media.
You can find me on Twitter or X, whatever you kids are calling it nowadays, at Kenfig Cowboy. That's Kenfig with a K, Cowboy with a K, and on Blogging the Boys and Fansided.
And yeah, guys, you can follow me at IMPStu on Instagram and Twitter/X. And but yes, like I said, we will be back next week. We'll be covering a lot more probably on the whole Dax Prescott situation and a lot more. And we'll look to try and get some more special guests coming onto the show. We will keep you posted. But yes, but with that being said, it's a good night for me and it's a good night for Mike. And we will, guys, we'll see yous next week. Ta-ra.
You've been listening to the World's Team Podcast. There's no other team like it in the world. Nothing more electrifying than the Dallas Cowboys. And we're here to prove it. We bring in fan groups from Germany, France, Brazil, the UK, Canada, Japan. We're everywhere, baby. We hope you've enjoyed the show. If you did, make sure to like, rate, and review. We'll be back soon. But in the meantime, find us on Instagram at the.worlds.team. On Twitter at the_worlds_team. And on YouTube at the World's Team. How about them Cowboys?
And the only thing else I got to say is, how about them Cowboys? Yeah!
See you next time.